بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله.
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم أجمعنا مراسل أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: وقد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: إنا أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا. صدق الله العظيم. In the many qualities that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم has been described, a unique quality is what is known as سراجا منيرا, a flame, or you can say a lantern, that is giving out a very powerful light. In Farsi, in Urdu, we say chiragh. The chiragh, we all know it, is that candle, you put it in the crevice. The light is called focus light. People behind the light, they won't see it. Whoever's in front of the light, they will enjoy it. In the real Arabic language, a siraj actually means shamsun, the sun. But there's a slight difference between the sun and siraj, which we will discuss inshallah in detail. Before explaining that, we have to understand that when this world was brought, Almighty Allah's system in this world was, first there will be a night and then there will be a day. So what happens at night? Everything is dark, and Almighty Allah wanted it that. For whatever reason, it was only going to be Islam that was going to be day for the world. Before Islam, everything else was going to be night. Meaning from the time Nabi Adam alayhi salam came on earth, the shayateen always had an extra power which was called dominion of the earth. They were the mighty empire. It was called the empires of the Persians, Babylonians, Assyrians, Romans. Whatever empire was in the past, it was never a believing empire. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Makkah Mukarramah. A sahabi radiallahu anhu came to complain that what we are getting from the Quraysh, the amount of persecution, he just said that. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat up. And he said, people in the past, for the sake of their deen, they allowed themselves to be cut. They were brought in front of the king, and they were to be told, turn away from this new deen you have taken. And he would look at the king and say, no. And then he would see his friends, they would bring like a saw, and while alive, this cutting would start. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they would cut him in half. He says, there were those people who were brought and their meat was combed from their bodies. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, but even that did not stop them from the deen of Allah. He said, make sabr. Sahaba radiallahu anhu made sabr. It was a time in the past, if you visit many of these lands which today have become Islamic, you will understand what was known as the empires of the past. One is, if you visit Turkey today, Turkey was what we know as the Roman Empire. Constantinople was that land which they never thought would ever be taken over. So in many parts of Turkey, if you go, you will still see the ruins of what was known as the arenas of the past. They never used to play soccer in an arena. It was called the gladiators. Whoever was against the government, and whoever they found who was trying to make a call of La ilaha illallah, from the different parts of the land, they would be caught. Because they were idol worshippers, they were fire worshippers. When a man is a fire worshipper, a Christian to a certain extent still has a little feeling. When a man is not a Christian, by name perhaps he is, but he's a fire worshipper. He's a Satanist. For him to see people suffer gives him enjoyment. In today's era we call them Illuminati. We can call them Freemason. You'll find that sometimes so much of war taking place in the world. Doesn't it affect these people that so many houses are crying and crying? One bomb it was. What did one bomb have to do? One bomb fell, but an entire nation is destroyed. But it means nothing to them. When you become a fire worshipper, to see man suffer makes you happy. Because the shayateen hate man. So you also start hating. If you are told tonight you must kill your mother and take out her flesh, you will do it. There's no heart left in them. There was that era where they were given open rule in the world. It was called night. And whoever wanted to make the qawl la ilaha illallah, they were known as the star during the night. The anbiya of those eras, whether it was Shaykh alayhi salam, Lut alayhi salam, Hud alayhi salam, Nuh alayhi salam, whichever era they came, whichever area they came, when Lut alayhi salam made his call to his people that will you stop doing this filthy action which you are doing, when the angels came to Ibrahim alayhi salam, they made salam to him and they said, we are now going to the nation of Lut, qawmin mujrimin, criminals. What was their crime? Their crime was man to man, woman to woman. They were mad in this lust, filthy in this lust. But understand how hard it was for Lut alayhi salam. When the angel said, فَأَخْرَجْنَا مَنْ كَانَ فِيهَا مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, first we will remove whichever believer is in the town. فَمَا وَجَدْنَا فِيهَا غَيْرَ بَيْتٍ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. He said, but there's only one family that we will remove. There was only his house. And even in his house, his one wife had to stay behind also. Even in his house, one was involved. When Ibrahim alayhi salam was taken out of Iraq and he walked with his son, with his nephew Lut alayhi salam and his wife, he said, on the surface of the earth besides us, no one is taking the name of Allah. Surface of the earth, no one is taking the name of Allah. They had to go through Egypt. There the Egyptian government was so evil. In Iraq it was so evil. It was just evil upon evil, darkness upon darkness. Every Nabi that came was like a star. Perhaps you will not understand what was the kamal of Nuh alayhi salatu was salam. He went one generation, the whole generation died. But no one wanted to listen. Next generation he's speaking to. They say to him, you call our father and grandfather, have you not given up? In one area to carry on giving a dawah, to see a whole generation die, to see their son coming, he still doesn't want to listen. Finally, when the time came when Nuh alayhi salam was told, you have done your job. Quran speaks about 950 years of calling. If you have someone listening to you, even if you got giving a bayan, and you got one person listening, it gives you that hope still. Even one person. Let the day come when then one person also goes on. Hazrat Haji Farooq Sahib rahimullah, years ago when he came to Azadul Bahs, he spoke about the time when he started giving majlis in that masjid. His sheikh has ordered him, now you go to a certain place and you start majalis. He said it happened that there was like two people like him who would sit. And then the one person, something happened, maybe he passed or whatever happened, now there was only one person. He said that he would carry on, then one person would sit and he would give his majlis. And then it said, and then he said, but what's the amazing thing, that one person was also deaf. He said, that person was deaf. That's your understanding. He said, that man would come sit, I would give the majlis. And that man would sit. Majlis would be finished and he would stand up. He said, what an exam it was. He said, don't look at now the crowd is moving around with the sheikh. He said, there was a time when there was no one. But even then you will say it's a few days of sabr and Allah will open. 950 years and you see no results. No results. It was a time of darkness. When poets described it, they said it less. When they said Allah's Nabi, they said whom? They said, he is shamsu fadlin hum kawakibuha. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the sun of virtue. But before the sun rose in the world, there were many stars. Yudhirna anwaraha linnasi fi dhulam, which ensured that in the darkest of nights, they would continue giving their lights. A star is itself brilliant. It was never meant to wipe away all the darkness. The Anbiya of that era, they were brought in the cage also. Daniel alayhi salam was put where the lions were. So many hungry lions jumped on him.
But then instead of biting by the command of Allah, they just sat.
They went tame.
When the king saw it, when the people saw it, they said, this is a protected man. He was free from it. But it was not all that. There were those Anbiya alayhi salam, Yahya alayhi salam, his blood flowed and flowed when they murdered him. Zakariya alayhi salam, they cut him in half. It was very dark nights. But during those dark times, every Nabi of Allah, when he made his call, whether he found one person or he found none, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he was shown that a Nabi and two people were the Nabi. A Nabi and 10 people were the Nabi. That was. He said, then he saw there was a huge group. He said, this is my ummah. He was told, no, this is the ummah of Musa alayhi salam. Then he was told, and yours is like this, and like this, and like this, meaning much bigger. But otherwise, when he said, a Nabi with two people, and a Nabi with 10, and a Nabi with no one, it was very dark times. For about 7,000 years, it was known as night, during which the stars would shine. But Allah Tabarakala showed the power of that star, that when times are difficult, and for a Nabi and the followers of a Nabi to stand up against the forces of Kufr. But they never gave up. They remained until death took over and then Allah brought another star and showed. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stood up, sat up and he said, they made that sabr for the deen of Allah, make that sabr. But it was the kindness of Allah that when this ummah was going to come, it was now going to be day and no more night. Day it was night with no day. Now it was going to be day with no night. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before he was born, you have a sun. Before the sun touches the horizon, you call it dawn. Subh sadiq. It's when we read our Fajr Salah. On the entire east you will see a light spreading. And it just moves. As the light spreads, there's no fight with darkness. Darkness just disappears. That is called the beginning of the light. Before the light came, it was Isa alayhi salam. Ali Muhammad Tayyab sahab rahimullah described it as, he says, it seemed now the sky was crying to Allah, that I have seen so many years of nights, so many years of the worship of Kufr, so many years of the worship of the mighty fire of the Persians. In Persia, there was one fire, because the fire for them was God. To keep one small fire burning, you have a brine. And after that brine, eat your meat. Try to say, I'll keep this fire burning. How long will you manage to keep it? But they, in their love of their fire, they let that one mighty fire burn for 1,000 years. 1,000 years it could not go off that fire. So the people who rose in the Persian ranks, there was a certain rank you reach, which is called the Khadim of the fire. It means now you God's selected servant. So now when you reach that, it means now you will be serving the fire. So they would have people taking their duties. You will have your 1 hour, your half an hour. During that time you must just carry on feeding the fire. For 1,000 years it carried on. Imagine that man feeding the fire. How many sajdas we have made to Allah. But on every sajda, Allah built for us a tree in paradise. How many times the man threw into the fire something, but the most that the fire gave him is either it made his halal hot, or it burnt him alive. It became famous, a proverb, that if ever you worked for someone, you worked for him for so many years and you did something wrong, and then he tells you, just get out. So the people started saying, you like the khadim of the fire. Because the fire was there. He would serve it, that time when time will come, and he will say, hey, I don't want to be promoted any longer, please demote me now. Because you're getting nothing out of it. That fire never stopped burning 1,000 years. 1,000. That was Persia. Persia is what we call today Iraq and Iran. Then the king came, and he decided to put up a building which got no pillars. Nowadays there are some masjids like that. The shape of the masjid goes like this. So if you enter the masjid, you will find no palace. SubhanAllah, one must have no palace also. This may be one of those kings put it up. So huge it was, very huge. So you have to take a shape that goes round. That without any pillar, it manages to stand. So in the books of Tariq, they say it took about 99 years to build. And according to their own, they say about 25 years. Whatever it was, between 25 or 99, it was remarkable in its time. And what was so remarkable is up till today it's standing. Up till today in Iraq. Countries and empires came and went, that thing is still standing. It was put up so solid. It was known as Iwan-e-Kisra. Iwan-e-Kisra. In recent times when the Gulf War was taking place, and after the Gulf War, America always got a lot of shock in this. Wherever there's anything satanic, you see America pitches up. So America made this thing now. They put so many millions to make sure that Iwan is looked after. This thing is so strong during the Abbasi Khilafat. The Khalifa of the Banu Abbasira want to break this Iwan down. So his one minister told him, don't break it. You're going to waste so much of money. But he knew how solid it is. So how many armies were brought to bring this thing down? In the ending, the Khalifa said, we have wasted too much, just leave it. So then the minister said, I told you about it. And he said, now the people are going to laugh that even the Muslims could not bring this down. So then he said, we will change the sentence. We will say that look how strong and mighty this Iwan is. That armies and armies could not bring it down. But the deen of Islam that came, it brought that empire who put it up down. He said, leave the Iwan. So that countries and countries can come and see it. And they will understand what a mighty empire the Persians were. That such a Iwan they put up. That you cannot take it down. So what was the strength of that empire? But when the religion of Islam reached, that empire was brought to the ground. They leave the Iwan. You say Islam brought everyone down to the ground. So he had his Iwan. They had their mighty fire. And how many other satanic things were all? The world was filled with Satanism. The jinnat, every leader had a jinn on his side. The talking of the jinn and the man was a normal. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, before leaving, he made a statement to the people that now night is coming to an end, get ready for day. So Allah Ta'ala speaks about it. When Isa alayhi salam said, وَإِذْ قَالَ عِيسَى ابْنُ مَرْيَمْ يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيَّ مِنَ التَّوْرَاةِ. He said, I am the messenger of Allah to you. And one of the main reasons I have come, وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولٍ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِي إِسْمُهُ أَحْمَدٍ. He said, what the cry of the night was, that I'm tired of being nights. He said, I have come to tell you that now the time of Ahmad is now coming. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's rise was like a morning. First you have dawn. When you have dawn, the light spread in the entire horizon. On the day night he was born, on that night, whichever empire there was, Almighty Allah allowed the king of that empire to get a warning. To tell him, you got 40 years, if you want to make Toba, make Toba. Because this light that is going to come now is going to bring day, and after day there will be no night. So in Qasida Burda he describes it like this. He says, أَبَانَ مَوْلِدُهُ عَنْ طِيبِ عُنْصُرِهِ يَا طِيبَ مُهْتَدَئٍ مِّنْهُ وَمُهْتَتَمِهِ. He says, the day he was born, that itself showed that get ready for the choicest and the purest of all beings. He says, the date of his birth showed it all. He said, what a beautiful beginning, what a beautiful end. What happened when he was born? On that night, the king of Persia, you had the Roman Empire, you had the Persian Empire. But the Persian Empire were much more mightier. The king of Persia, either he or his main minister see the dream. In the dream, they see that there's Arabian horses. They go over the Tigris rivers, meaning going into Iraq. And then the camels of that land, the Iraqi camels, they are now pulling it back into the lands of the Arabs. So he wakes up with that. In the morning they say to him, your mighty Iwan, which has gone untouched for so long, on so many places we picked up cracks. This thing was uncrackable, whatever you want to call it. On that night, cracks just pitched up. So many. And then the news comes from another side that last night we tried so hard to keep the fire burning, but that fire just went down. How much we fed it, that fire just went and it died. And then there was a mighty river linked up with the Tigris and the Euphrates as you have it. So that river flooded its bank. So on one side where they were waiting for the water, no water came. And water for them was left. And on the other side where it went off, they were not expecting waters, and so much water came, it knocked them. And that river was worshipped by them, as though you would say the gods have gone crazy. Because it knocked this group, that group it never got. The author of Qasida Burda, he mentioned this in a very unique sentence. He said, on that night, كَأَنَّ بِالنَّارِ مَا بِالْمَانِ مِنْ بَلَلْ. Look at this Arabic. If you have understood any taste of Arabic, but even in English you can. See, you got a fire, and you tried so hard to keep the fire burning, but it just don't want to burn. And on the other side, you got water which you needed to be flowing, but it just dried up, meaning it went off. So he says, it seemed on that night, كَأَنَّ بِالنَّارِ مَا بِالْمَانِ مِنْ بَلَلْ وَبِالْمَانِ مَا بِالنَّارِ مِنْ بَرَمْ. On that night it seems that in the fire, that wetness of the waters came in it. So no matter how much they said, fire burn, fire was just dying. And when we went looking for the water, it seems the heat of the fire came away then. That we say, water, come, the water dry up. That was that night. The king wants to know now, what is this dream? And what is happening? So one person is brought and he says, so the king asks, who will interpret my dream? So many people come in front, because if you get the right interpretation, you will get a very big gift. So many say, I will interpret. So the king says, interpret. So the man says, first you will have to tell me the dream, then I can interpret. The king said, that even I can do. So how can I trust you people? I will only trust that man who will tell me the dream. Because either his dream or his main minister's dream. So one person pitched up and he said, then if you're asking for this, there is one man in the lands of Sham. Once a year he would come out of the cave and he would tell the people what's going to happen in the year. So many things are going to happen. So he says, let me go all the way to Sham and I will wait for that day. And he comes out, sits on a certain rock, he explains, and then he goes back in. And then they would make arrangements for his food. He would not meet anyone for 1 year. So he lands up there. And after the man has spoken to the different people, then he looks at this person. And before the man even can ask the question, he looks and he says, the king of Persia has sent you. He sent you to ask about the dream. And he mentioned the dream. About the Arab horses going over and they're pulling the camels. He said, and he sent to ask you about the mighty fire, why it's not burning, why it died on that night. And he sent to ask you about the waters, why did it flood its banks. But then in a very beautiful way, he said this. He said, Alamatu wiladatin nabiyyil ummiyyil arabiyyil hashimi Muhammad al-Arabi huwa afdalu abna'il khalil الموصوف في التوراة والإنجيل. He said, this is the sign of the birth of the unlettered Nabi, the Arabian, the Hashimi. His name will be Muhammad, the one who is the best of the sons of Ibrahim, the friend of Allah, the one who has been described in the Torah and the Injil. And then he said, ah, if only I have my strength on that day, then I will also stand up with him to fight with. So the news reached the king. When the king of Persia heard it, he became so upset with the interpretation that he sent a message back to the land of Sham. Go to that man's cave, take him out. They took him out. They beheaded him. They beheaded him. I don't want to hear this interpretation. So they saw all the signs. The Roman king got the message, he had his dream, he understood what's happening. The Persian king, Abyssinian king, Egyptian king, they all got it. This was called dawn. That a light started in the horizon. Still the entire thing was dark, but you could see it in the far. It would start normally when the sun comes to the close to the surface. That area which is closest becomes lit. So first it started with Medina Munawwara. Makkah Mukarramah means the family of Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It hit in his house and Khadija now becomes radiallahu anha. She was the most unique woman on earth, but now she would become the most unique woman the world would ever see. Now she would be radiallahu anha. Before this she was spoken about on earth, but she was not spoken in the heavens. He comes back from the cave of Hira. The first one to believe in him is Khadija radiallahu anha and her daughters, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's daughters. And that light becomes, that house becomes a house of light. Abu Bakr radiallahu anha's family is hit. Hamza radiallahu anha is hit. A time comes when Umar radiallahu anha is hit and light is spreading. And as this qafla, this caravan goes to Medina Munawwara, now the entire Medina is lit. A few years down the line is called the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah. This is called the spreading of his sun on the horizon. It just starts going up and nothing can stop it. When you see that sun making its mark on the world, every morning you see it, that's how Islam hits the entire world. It was going to now start day and there would now be no night. It left it. Makkah Mukarramah is now conquered. It is the 8th year of the Hijri. On the 10th year, it is called the final Hajj. Makkah Mukarramah, when they reached it, 2 years before that, they went for an Umrah. 1,400 Sahaba took part in that Umrah. They weren't allowed the Umrah. So the following year, they made Qadha. The following year was the conquest. When the conquest took place, 10,000 Sahaba came. 1,400 multiplied very fast. When they had 10,000 coming, Abu Sufyan was still non-Muslim. He got the news something is happening in Medina. So he was coming out of Makkah Mukarramah, coming out of Makkah Mukarramah. And then he meets another person called Hakim bin Hizab. They are talking about what's happening in Medina. And they see in the distance there are lights. Because when you have an army and it's night time, you put up your camps, your tents, your fires. So he looks at the fires. And one says to the other, what are those fires? So this one says to the other, I heard so and so Arab tribe, they were migrating, perhaps it's them. He says, can never be them. They are not so big. Somebody else says something else, maybe it's this group, maybe it's that group, huge. Abbas radiallahu anhu comes. And he says, forget your long stories, that is the army of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Sufyan says, that very boy who was like the orphan, says the orphan's army has become so big. Ibn Abi Kabshah, that he had no father also, somebody else was looking after him. He had a foster father. Are you telling me that's his army? Amira Amr Ibn Abi Kabshah, the letter of this boy has become so big. Abbas radiallahu anhu says, oh Abu Sufyan, are you still in deception? This is no mighty king, or this is no chief. This is Nubuwa. And Abu Sufyan says, Wallah, this is Nubuwa. But that sun was not stopping. When that 10,000 entered Makkah Mukarramah, that wasn't the end. That sun just starts spreading. 2 years later, he makes the call, the final Hajj. It was his only Hajj for Islam. When he stands on that plains, in front of him is 100,000 plus. From 1,400, moving with him was an army now of 10,000. Within 2 years, that army multiplied. Now you got 100,000 surrounding you on the plains of Hajj. At that time, someone said, where did this army come? You will say, this is Nubuwa. But still not the end, because the sun is only rising. He had already told his ummah, Persia is yours now. He said, Rome is yours. He said, forget Persia and Rome. He said with Sahaba radiallahu anhu, he said, you know that one mighty fort mighty castle which is situated on the waters. We call it today Constantinople. No one had taken over Constantinople because of the manner the thing was built. Said, you know that place which is on the waters? My Ummah will break through it also. Said, my Ummah will break through it. لَتَفْتَحُنَّ الْقُسْطَنْتِنِيَةَ. He said, by the qasam of Allah, you will conquer that also. فَلَنِعْمَ الْأَمِيرُ أَمِيرُهَا. What a wonderful Amir. What a wonderful army. Constantinople became what we call today Istanbul. Islam was going to break through it all. There was going to be no Egyptian empire after that. It was going to be an Islamic rule. There was no Roman empire. There was no Persian empire. Everything went white when the sun rises. Then darkness just goes. Had Allah wanted, Rome and Persia would have been conquered in the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Roman king, when he heard that the Muslims have come forward, he himself stopped his army going. He said, because no one has ever fought against the Nabi of Allah except that destruction came. In the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he pulled his army back because he heard that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had reached Tabuk with his army. The Muslims reached Tabuk, but there was no war. The Romans never came. But when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, the Roman emperor really thought that if you want to now break Islam, now the time. Because now there is no Nabi. He did not understand this word which is called Khatm-e-Nubuwa. Khatm-e-Nubuwa means there will be no Nabi after me. It was not meant in a bad manner. It was meant is after me there will be no need for a Nabi. Because when the sun will come high in the sky, there will be no need for a star after that. This was going to be a sun that was going to settle in the middle, and the rays of the sun were going to go everywhere. It was not a sun that was based on the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was based on the personality of Allah's Nabi. So he would say, whoever will visit me after my demise, let him understand as though he visited me while I'm alive. The body would be placed in the grave, but that heart would continue spreading spiritual light in the world. Allah made it such that the conquest of Persia and the conquest of Rome, conquest of Constantinople, conquest of Egypt, all of it happened after he passed away. Why? So that the world will understand that with his demise, the sun never sets. With his demise, it just placed itself away. And then it happened. What's the nature of the sun? The nature of the sun is wherever it moves, it gives energy to the world. When there's no sun, everyone goes into lethargy. You just feel tired. You feel lazy. Night time comes, even if you're busy on your phone, a time's supposed to come at night. Some people are a little bit weird. That whole night they stay awake and in the morning they sleep. But the normal is, even if your phone's supposed to keep you awake, it's dark, you don't feel like doing anything. But let morning come. Morning will wake the world up. This was a sun that gave energy to the world. Wherever it hits, Iraq, Iran, Persia, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Africa, South Africa, we enjoy the light of the sun. That's what brings us every day to the masjid. It was a light that was going to give energy. It was a light that was going to spread knowledge. The knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going to enter into places you can never imagine. The light of a sun is such, it goes and it breaks through. It penetrates far and wide, traveling the world today, and places where you will think no Jamaat would ever have reached. There also you will find someone saying, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. You will ask him, where did this kalima reach you? You will say, I also don't know, but I grew up reading this. That light came somewhere through. This is called the light of Risala. How it penetrates and how it changed the world. How darkness became light. Allah's Nabi said, I am leaving you on a path. that there will be no darkness, it is only white and bright the spark. He gave such principles. You can be the best judge in the world, but the judgments you make can only affect the people of your era. You can never write a book that will be read by someone 100 years later, 1000 years later, and the man will say, this applies to me, ayn bi ayn. You will always say, this was written for a village. Those principles I can't apply in a city. But when the sun comes, the sun makes the man in the village warm. It makes the man in the city warm. The risala of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was for the village man. It was for the city man. It was for the man of the camel era. It was for the man of the space era also. As the sun would say, I'm for all. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's light was for all also. It would hit the man who can see. It would hit the man who can't see. Light, you feel it, you don't have to see it. One man looks at the light, the other doesn't. Both of them enjoy. The blind man was going to enjoy. The man who could see. The man who understood Arabic would enjoy. The man who doesn't understand Arabic also enjoys. A man who understands the language looks at the sun. A man who doesn't understand, he also benefits from the sun. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's light was like that. It was a light which was called aam, general for all. It was called tam, pure and perfect for all. It would enter everywhere wherever it needed to go. When day will come, you will get however something happening. Night was now no longer going to come. But sometimes a cloud can come in front of the sun. Sometimes a cloud, you call it rain, is coming. So you see one big cloud coming, and then when you look up, you don't see the sun. But all of us know after a while you see light pushing through that cloud. And then the cloud breaks again and then it's normal. Two times history saw a cloud came. One was during the Crusades. During that 100 years everyone thought this is the end of Islam. When they established themselves in the land of Sham, we say the time of the Crusades because the Tartars was at the same time. This just finished and that hits. So during that era, everyone lost hope that Islam now will never survive until a Mahdi will come. They had established 4 Christian empires in the lands of Sham. Every masjid was made a stable. There was no Allahu Akbar. When we say close the masjids were closed. There was no one who had permission to enter a masjid in the land which is called the Muslim lands of Sham. It became the Christian kingdom. The king of England was more in Sham than he was in England. But we hear about Lion. Richard the Lionheart. When I was young, I heard something called Robin Hood. So Robin Hood, whether he was true or not, but in Robin Hood there was a very good king. He was called Richard the Lionheart. This Richard the Lionheart was that Shaitan who was fighting in Sham. They had taken over Sham and he made it his kingdom. Richard the Lionheart. And amazing what stories how they can make a Muslim fall in love with the devil. He was the devil himself. There was no lion about him and there was no heart in him. He had no heart, he was evil in nature. To make Muslims suffer, that was his only. Allah Ta'ala made it but that the sun shone. And when everyone thought that we will never see light again, today you will only hear the word crusades in the books of history. We call think about Salahuddin Ayyubi, he was one who stood up. But it wasn't him standing up, it was the light of the sun that broke through the clouds. When the crowd broke, Allah Ta'ala made an Ottoman Empire stand up. It was even more stronger than the one before. And Islam went even further than what it had gone. The Crusades tried a second, then a third, and the Crusades all failed. The entire Christian Empire was brought to the ground. That was one cloud that the world saw for about 100 years. Me and you, we grew up in a time of the second cloud. It was called when the Khilafat was destroyed, World War I and World War II. After that, Israel was created, established. Because we grew up in it, we thought the world was always like this. That America was always a superpower. Russia and Britain were always the bosses, and Muslims were never in talk at the extent they could talk in the world. It was never like this. However, sometimes you get a cloud. As the one cloud was broken, this cloud is also breaking. In recent times, when you are hearing of Muslim countries that are now showing the shan of a Muslim, you hear of Turkey, you hear of Qatar, you hear of Malaysia, to a certain extent you are hearing of Pakistan. These countries are now standing up and they're telling the world of kufr, get lost. This is just the beginning of a new time where the light of the sun is penetrating. You can already feel it in the air. You can see Muslim countries. The other day Turkey showed what military power they got. People in the past never thought Muslims got a military power. If they never have a military power, America would have landed long ago in near Turkey. They would have removed the president. They would have taken over. They are so scared to make a move. So the Turkish president made this announcement that a while ago they would threaten us with military power. He said we are beyond that. They will now never threaten us with military power because they know our military is more stronger than theirs. He said a time came where they threatened us with sanctions, and with sanctions they would put us down. He said we are now on a level that with sanctions they cannot do anything to us also. Let them come with whatever they want, we will give an answer back to them. This never happened in the last 70, 80 years. That sun is now breaking. You are seeing in parliaments for the first time, even you will hear in the parliament of Palestine, which you never heard in the past, the man will stand up and he will start the khutbah on the name of Allah. No one was taking Allah's name in, no government. As Allah's name is being taken in parliament, you must understand the sun is now breaking through the cloud. Because of that, there's panic in the world. In France, they're panicking. In America, they're panicking. Whatever law they're now trying to put is, so Qari Muhammad Tayyab Sahib Rahimullah wrote this. He said, when the sun is out, how people relate to the sun. He said, there are those people, because they were never introduced to the sun, they became an enemy of light just because they never saw light. They are the baby of the bat. A bat grows up in a cave. The baby of the bat was never given the chance to come out during the day because mommy bat never allowed him. So because he lives in dirt, he eats dirt. From the very place where he eats, most likely he takes out his dirt. He's so happy with his darkness that he has become the enemy of light. One is the enemy of light because of ignorance. There are many like that in the world. They say sometimes things against Islam which is filthy. But the only reason is because their nature is the nature of a bat. That you haven't seen the light, you are going to talk the talk of filth. The second is the bat that did come out, or a rat. The rat came out, he saw the light and he ran back in. You will see the rat waits for darkness. When it becomes dark, he will come out and do all his facade. But he knows during the day, I can't do what I want to. His nature is also filthy, he knows the light. But he hates the light. So Qari Muhammad Tayyab Sahib asked this question. Whether in ignorance the person hates the light, meaning the bat, or whether in stubbornness it hates the light, until today has anyone ever managed to destroy the light of the sun? He said that light is so far, you can stand and spit towards it. You can be like Fir'aun who said, لَعَلِّي أَطَّلِعُ. He said to Haman, bal for me higher and higher. I will climb to the top and I'll shoot my arrow so that the God, the Ilah of Musa, I'll finally get rid of him. I want to get there and see where is this Allah. How are you going to climb? That sun is not the highest. But that sun where it is, it says to the world, you can swear me. You can go up and say, today is too hot. That sun is just going to carry on. And it just shines like a smile. In the one smile, light goes everywhere. The only thing you can do is, if you don't want it, put your hands. You won't see the light, but you'll still feel the light. It will find you somewhere. and it's going in those caves also. Because it's penetrating the cave, the bats are becoming irritated. A bat then wakes up and he tries to move around, that's when you're irritating it. Whenever you're hearing in the world, and you say, why do they hate Islam so much? You only hate something because it's irritating. It will always be. But their talks and their noise will never harm the sun. It will never harm. But then Qari Tayyib's up then, and we will bring an end to it on this. He explains that Allah Ta'ala did not use the word sun, however. He used the word siraj munira. Siraj means a chirag. Chirag means a lantern. A lantern whose light is as bright as the sun. But the sun you can only enjoy it if you far. Go too close to the sun and you will burn. Except the light of Rasulullah is different. The closer you will go to the light, the more cool you will be. Except this is not a sun. This is a lantern that you can be right here. We all felt it. The man who is the filthiest and the dirtiest in his heart, he also goes to Umrah. And he also goes there and he says, As-salatu was-salam alayka ya Rasulallah. Have you ever heard an announcement coming from inside the grave, get lost? Have you ever heard that? Rather when that same man comes back to his country, within 3 or 4 months someone will say, I can see he went to Medina. He was not reading salat, I was in the masjid. Allah's Nabi has also looked at him and he said, I appreciate your salam. You came so far to meet me and he made it dua. Whoever was close to the Nabi of Allah never burnt. He said, similarly is the shariat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many Muslims in the world, we are enjoying that sun because we are on the right side of the crevice. Non-Muslims are behind it. So they can't see the light. There are some people on the side where they see light but it's not coming to them. They're just seeing those people are in so much of brightness. Why? But they're also not seeing the light. Allah's kindness, we were born in front of the light. Our problem and mistake what we made is where we were born, we remain there. We don't want to go closer to the light. Closer to the light means I'm scared if I become too pious. This word is found in every family. When the man says, make dua for my son. But make, he must become good, but not too pious. And too pious word means like, we'll be going for the next walima. Then I want to mix with my cousins. Now my son will tell me, Daddy, what about farza? And then he don't become too pious, please. That too pious word. He says, make a dua that he becomes good, but not too pious. Too pious. That word. We don't want to go. Why? I'll burn. No one has ever burned when he came close to the Rasulullah. The closer you get to the light, the more cool you become. That man who said, you are asking me to put my business right. I will enjoy the light of the sun in the masjid. But I can't let that light enter my business, he'll burn the business. Meaning what interest? That man who took away interest. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu light has never burnt any business. Suddenly he found barakat upon barakat. He found the stubborn son became a good son. His stubborn wife became a good wife. His own stubborn habits changed. Why? Because yesterday I was feeding my children haram and I expected angels to be born. So when they started retaliating and speaking rude, I went to the Moran and said, give a ta'weez. He said, you know there's one ta'weez, if you put it on a horse, the horse becomes obedient, I need to put it on my wife. The answer was, when you feed haram, what you're going to get? When that interest is going to come out, that business will never burn. When hijab and parda is going to come, no business has ever burned, no house has ever burned. He said, we don't want to come closer to the light. I'm scared also I'll burn. He said, whoever came closer to the light, the closer they became, the cooler they became. But this is a chirag. It never only made them cool. A chirag is a lantern. A lantern that is burning with its own oil. It doesn't need somebody else to put oil. It got its own oil. And it is burning so bright. And it got a glass cover around it. But if you go close to it, you can become a candle If you got a small wick, and then the lantern will say that not only will I make you warm, I will make you also a burning candle. So you just take that candle and you put it there and suddenly you burn it. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu when he said, no Nabi after me, what he meant is, after me there will be the inheritors of the Anbiya till the end. I will be lighting candles left, right and center. Towns will have my vicegerents, cities will have my vicegerents. In one house my candle will be burning. One child is becoming a hafiz, he's a burning candle. One alim is graduating, there's a burning candle. One madrasa is there, is another candle. Put all those candles together one day. Sometimes, one time in Turkey they had a gathering. It was in appreciation of the efforts of Sheikh Mahmoud Afandi. So they made an announcement, whoever studied by the Sheikh, all of them must gather. So what a huge majma it was. And they looking and said, in the land of Turkey, Mustafa Kemal came to break Islam. Where did all of the scandals come? That is only in one small state. Let an announcement be made. Whoever is a burning candle of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, stand up. And if a picture had to be taken of it, and in the whole world you will see that candle burning, then you will understand the power of wasirajam munira. That this is a light that has come to shine the land. May Allah Tawaratala allow me and you put our candle. And we ourselves start burning. You become the light in your family. You give light to the people around you. You light the people around you. Everyone starts burning. This is a unique sun that has come to give light to the world. Because the cloud was blocking it for a while, me and you forgot of the light of the sun. While the cloud was there, still we felt the heat. This madrasa, this masjid is the heat. That madrasa is the heat. We are living in a time of kufr, ghalba over the earth. At the time of kufr, ghalba over the earth, how do you understand that so many masajid and madaris are in the world? Couldn't they close the masajid madaris? Because the sun is still there. That heat of the sun, even with the cloud, everyone is getting that. How many gadgets they have made, how many applications they have taken out, how many times they are telling the young child, at night stay awake with the devil, in the morning don't go to the class for your hips. Every masjid you go, they will tell you the other day your hips class started yours. Who's coming to the hips class? That boy who's half sleeping in the hips class, but something is bringing him. Why? Because the light is burning. When you have a jalsa, what happens? That light is burning. You say, look at them graduating. When you see jamaat going in the world, you say, what's happening? You say, the light is burning. The cloud is still there. We saw all of that and we enjoying it. Allah make it, let us now see when the cloud breaks. One thing we haven't yet seen, the Muslim armies moving in the world. We grew up at the time when we were not allowed to see that because of the clouds. The Khilafat was destroyed, the Muslim army was destroyed. As that cloud is going to break, may Allah allow us. We saw it all. We saw the dars of Quran, we saw the dars of Hadith. That is because of the light of that sun. We saw people on deen, we saw the jubba, we saw the imama, we saw the burqa, we saw the niqab. It's because of the light of the sun. One thing we never saw an Islamic empire. We never saw the armies of the Muslims walking in the world. We never saw the flags going high. We never heard the Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And you say the Muslim armies have taken another victory, another victory. We saw the markets with the judges. We never saw that. Inshallah, Allah will make it. That sun is breaking through that cloud. And we will see it. What we must do is, one is be ready to walk towards the light. How long are we going to stand where we stand? Every day take one step further to the sunnah. Every day. In all of our lives, there is something that is wrong. And it hurts me whenever we hear about that in this family being so good. You know that one custom is just not leading you. That one custom. Everyone got one custom. Whether you are family and this family, everyone is in niqab, everyone is in burqa. But when the birthday comes and everyone says, shh, don't tell, I went to one place now, we're having supper. I can already understand they need me to go away home now. Because they need to cut the wedding cake. They need to cut their cake. So I'm also trying to tell my person that I need to go. It's late. Say, no, I'm trying to tell you, these people don't want you to sit. The cake is lying there. They need their tea and the cake. If I said, you know, I wouldn't mind a cup of tea, then they needed to cut the cake. Very good. Cut the cake. But happy birthday. Man is old. His leg is in the grave. But the custom of the birthday couldn't come out. Why? Because so close to the light, he was scared. I just don't want you to burn my body. Sleep the cake. Be ready to take that step. Interest must leave. Customs must leave. The closer you get to the light, you will find it cooler and cooler until you yourself will become the one light. Allah Ta'ala make us all the light. And number two, there are many bats and there are many rats. Some are stubborn, that's why they never saw the light. And some are just ignorant. In their ignorance, they will never understand what it means, the love of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And sometimes they will make the error of saying something against the Nabi of Allah, which is very filthy and dirty. This is such a love, you cannot explain it, has to be tasted. A man who reads Muhammadur Rasulullah, the Kalima, he gets this love. We can make an effort so much that introduce these bats and these rats to the light. Whether they accept the light or not, that's not in our hands. But we can introduce them to the light. When the president of France did whatever he did, from Malaysia they sent a book to him on the seerah, the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In Arabic it's called Shama'il al-Tirmidhi. The description of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was he? So whether it's the Shama'il in English or whether it's any other book, who is Muhammad? Have a small book, have your alim prepare 5 pages, 10 pages. We are getting every day in our shops many bats and many rats. And sometimes they want to ask, who is this Muhammad? And we also want to tell, but we can't talk and they can't understand. But to put one book in their hand is to say, the most I can tell you is I introduce you to the light. If you can find the light, miracles will happen in the world. So much we can do as the ambassadors of Islam. Keep one book on the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a simple book. A few pages, few points on his life in your shop. And when someone comes and he looks at it, and you tell him, you want one? This is Muhammad, the brother of Jesus. Just that sentence. When this woman was captured in Mali, almost most likely would have heard about it. Same time when the thing in France happened. And then they freed her 4 years in Mali. She was captive, Sophia, her name. Then when she reached France, the president of France went to go down, welcome her and say, you got saved from those barbarians. So he took out his hand to make greetings. So she never took out her hand because she's a Muslim. She kept the hand back. So his whole face changed. And everything was on camera. But they very fast, they covered the whole thing. So then she wrote a letter to him, to the president of France, from Maryam. He says, I heard that you were amazed. How can he, such an old woman who grew up in France, a white woman, ever think of accepting Islam after being captive in Mali for 4 years? She gave a very long letter. It's something to read. Inshallah, Marana will get it and give it out to you. It's something to read. But in there, she writes a couple of points. She said, whatever I heard, that priest speaking about Jesus, what Jesus said, what Jesus said, what Jesus said. He said, I saw these people doing what Jesus said. I never saw our people doing. He said, we talk the talk of Jesus, they do the work of Jesus. He said, I saw people whose color is dark, but their hearts are brighter, cleaner than milk. He said, they never entered into the place I was. They respected my privacy because of a woman. Whenever they had to come, they announced they're coming so I could get ready for them. He said, whoever treats a prisoner like this? Then she said, I would hear them reading that thing at night. I never understood what it meant, but it was like music to my ears. And then she said, why I took the name Maryam? Because Mary is the mother of Jesus. And the respect that these people give Mary, I did not find myself giving Mary that respect. So I took the name Maryam. Then she said, I would have announced my Islam in Mali. But But you, I know, would have then said, in the fear of death she became Muslim. So I came back to France, and on your soil I am announcing that I am a Muslim and I would love to go back to Mali. Says, but I came here to give a dawah to you and to my family and to the European world. That's what happens when one bat gets introduced to the ranks. One bat. It's a very nice article, you must read it, from Maryam to the King, the President of France. Very nice dawah, it made us shy that a woman who just accepted Islam, already she could pen a dawah to all the other bats in the game also. But me and you, we still feel shy to put something on. Allah Tabarakullah, let it be an eye opener, read this article. Inshallah, maybe morning after Jummah or something, he'll give it out. Read the article, but let it inspire us that there's a unique light that is burning. I also walk closer to the light, make myself part of the light, and I introduce the other bats that are around through this light. Allah Tabarakullah, make us all on guidance. May Allah make us guides for all others around us. May Allah make us benefit from the lights. May Allah make us become burning lights. May Allah Tabarakallah make us da'is to the Muslims, to the non-Muslims of the world. Those that accept the da'wah is to their benefit. Those that don't accept it, they won't accept. But so much I can do. I can invite someone, come on this side of the crevice. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah.